Best. Best Black Friday deal going today. An offer, free offer of God's precious word, Bible that is, offered to you freely and without cost or obligation to you. Yours, take and do with you will, as you will. New Testament in its entirety. Perhaps you would get maybe one or two surprises for you to look into God's Word. Find us about His grace, love and mercy. And who knows, but maybe you would be a recipient of it. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, please do come and ask for one. Lynn, that gentleman, would you tell him that we were here first, please, kindly? So it's the Word of God that we are here to bring to you, to give you maybe some understanding of, well, what it is that God has spoken and still speaks, and of course would have you to know, in order, of course, that is, that you might be brought to an obedience of that word that God has spoken, that you might come to know His love and grace, mercy and forgiveness. Something, of course, that we all of us need, whether we know it or not, realize it or not. Forgiveness that maybe perhaps you never even knew that you needed. You know, it's the business of sin. Some people live, you know, in what you can only call self-deception. You know, they live their lives, you know, and they think everything's okay, that they've never done anything wrong, anything serious, that is, robbed a bank or maybe did drugs or something, you know, but there are things there, of course, that only God Himself, by His Spirit, can bring us to an awareness, you know, of a deep need of being forgiven and reconciled to our Maker. That's really what the Gospel is about, you know, the essence, the heart of it, that there is forgiveness with God, and He has made that known in the Gospel, the good news concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, that through faith in His name, that you might be brought to that place of forgiveness. In the Bible, you can read the words for yourself, if you so wish, Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 8. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. You see, in order, of course, to come to the cure, you know, to be made well, well, a person, a body, first of all, needs to know that they're unwell. You know, I guess there have been times, you know, when people have had a serious illness, they felt quite well, you know, and, you know, but to their discovery, almost at the last moment, they've discovered that they've had some kind of sickness, disease within them, and lo and behold, it's killed them, it's taken their lives, you know. And all that time, they never knew that that disease was there, eating into the vitals of their being. Well, that's a good picture of sin, you know, because it's working away in you, and you can be totally unaware of the fact, until, of course, at the last moment, when you're about to depart this world, and maybe you're confronted, maybe even for the first time, the realities of God, and alas, too late. Well, we don't want you to leave it that long. We want you to come to an awareness that there is a problem there. There is a sickness there, a disease there. And of course, it's when you've got the disease, you know you've got the disease. It's then, of course, that you take yourself to the doctor. You don't go to the doctor, of course, unless there's something wrong. But of course, there is something wrong. And you need to hasten to the doctor before the disease takes you out of this world. And that doctor, that physician, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent into the world to deal with your sin problem. But of course, then again, you can be conscious, you know, of the problem, the disease, and do absolutely nothing about it, you know. Bury your head in the sand, oh, it'll be okay, it'll pass, you know, but, well, the sin disease most certainly will not pass. It has to be treated, and the only treatment, of course, the only cure is the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners such as you and I. Because the problem is, you see, with this sin disease, not only is it a threat to our physical lives, but it is a threat to our eternal destiny. We are faced with the exposure of and to eternal and everlasting death. And so if the cure is not applied, you see, the end of it, you see, is catastrophic. Here in this verse that I read to you this afternoon in your hearing, I will cleanse them of all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. You see, it's against God that you sinned and against God alone. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. But you see, we know from God's word, you see, that God is still in a reconciling mood. You know, that it's still a day of grace, a day when men and women can indeed be reconciled to God, when the sin disease can still yet be treated. That will not always be the case, of course. Elsewhere in God's word, he tells us to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Because that day is coming when the shutters will come down. And not only will Black Friday be over, but the marketplace of grace will be closed altogether. And there'll be no reconciling to God, none whatsoever. Then men will be crying out, then people will be howling and screaming, where is the grace of God to be found? Where is the Bible that I might read it? Where are the street preachers that we might listen to them and be saved? Too late, too late. Now is the time, the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, says God, because he's still in a reconciling mood. But of course, that's not your mood, unfortunately, is it? That's not your mood today. You could not care less because totally unaware of your condition, you know? Your mood is not to be reconciled. You couldn't care a ha'porth about God. Wouldn't even be thinking about him. Were we not here to tell you about him, to speak of him, it would be the last thing on your mind. First thing on your lips, of course, when something goes wrong, oh, G-O-D. The one you don't believe in, whose name you use constantly, blasphemously, in your conversation. But in your minds, in your hearts, they are far, far away from him. No thought of God, no realization, no awareness of your sin and what it's doing to you and what it will eventually do to you if it's not treated, if it's not cured, the disease, I mean. But rest assured, I can tell you with full authority from God's own word, his own speech, his own conversation, that he is still yet in a reconciling mood. It's still a day of grace when men and women can be restored to the favor of God through faith that is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came into the world not to make men religious, but to save them from a certain, sure, and known danger, that of the sin within you, your poisoned heart, your diseased soul, to cure, to make you well, and reconcile you to God. So you see, even those, and I say this, even to those who have heaped sin upon sin upon sin, those who have lived in the most dangerous of, the darkest and dirtiest of sins. And of course, there's many such today, is there not? What about our nation? What about our nation? What degradation we've come to. My own generation, I must confess, we have to hold our hands up, because in the 1960s, we opened a door that, well, I fear unless God shuts it, it never, never will be shut. We opened the door. Sex and love and rock and roll, we said. Freedom, freedom, great freedom. And has it brought us freedom? It's brought us nothing but utter filth to the utmost. Uncleanness abounds. We must be one of the most dirtiest nations on the planet now. So daft and blinded that we don't even know and understand that which is absolutely natural, should be obvious to everybody, that a person is born a female, they remain a female, and they'll stand before God's judgment as a female. And a person born as a male will always be a male and stand before God as a male and be judged as a male. And all the drugs and all the surgery and all the self-identifying in the world will not change that. When you don't even understand what marriage is. The most natural thing, you know, a man and a woman together. Why? Because they fit, and anything else does not fit. That ought to be plain, obvious, natural to anybody. But not to a nation given over to insanity. Not to a nation given over to a reprobate mind, a debased mind. Insanity, that's what the word means. And that's what God gives a nation, that's what God gives people over to when they go down the pathway of rejecting God, what they call atheism, of which of course there is no such a thing. Suppression, that is, a holding down of the truth in unrighteousness. And God, as a result of that, gives you over to that reprobate, that debased mind, that insanity that you see in your nation today. And you tell me you're unaware of your sin, you're unaware that you have a problem. What's the problem? Everything's good, everything's fine, you say. No, it's not. Not fine at all, friends. You live in danger, terrible danger day by day, exposed not only to the wrath of God, but to eternal, everlasting death. So pardon, you see. Pardon is a possibility, and I will cleanse them of their iniquity. All that filth and uncleanness, you see, it can be washed away by God. Whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. A word, you see, to an apostate nation, an apostate town, apostate individuals, people who have turned their backs upon and rejected their best good, the one who would do them the greatest good, their Maker, God Himself, who would love you freely and forgive you freely.
Hi.
Yeah, what do you want? What can I do for you?
Could you read about the falls?
Out with it, man, out with it. What?
Pardon?
Out with it. What? Read what?
Could you read about the four horsemen, please?
No, not today.
Why?
That's next week. Come back next week. Next Friday.
What here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay? You're welcome, sir. Have a nice day, yeah?
Yeah.
So, if I was interrupted, yeah, the three words here, you know, the word iniquity, you know. It means, the word means that which is twisted, you know, that which is warped, that which is crooked, you know, bent, not quite straight, not running, you know, in the way that what it's supposed to do. And of course, that's the same condition, is it not, of each and every man born into this world. Iniquity is that which the Bible says separates you between you and God. Because of your iniquities, you are separated from God. That's not a matter of distance. It's not a geographical separation, you know. It's not like God's a million trillion miles away from you. Oh no, so very close to you. Still close to you. As close as ever, because in Him you live and move and have your being. You cannot breathe without Him. You cannot even have a meaningful thought without God. No, it's not distance. It's not distance. It's attitude, you see. It's relational, you know. Instead of being in a loving and forgiving, gracious relationship with your Maker, with the true and living God, because of your suppression of the truth in unrighteousness, God is all very close to you, but in wrath, in displeasure, in holy displeasure, as a result, you see, of your iniquities. You're not straight, you know. You're bent, you know. You're crooked. You're not running in the way that God made you to run. You're not functioning in the way God intended you to function. Everything you see is dysfunctional as long as sin rules and reigns in you. As long as you are separated from the goodness, the kindness and mercy of God. But of course, you see, here's the problem. Here's the problem when a man, when a woman embraces this foolish notion, and it is a foolish notion, believe me, that there is no God. Not because I say so, but because God says so. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But as soon as you embrace such a philosophy, such a worldly philosophy, the thinking of man, that is, you know, well, you open yourself up to dark forces, and of course you open yourself up to the displeasure of God too. And it's like this, if I might put it in human language, God sort of, you know, He opens the gate, you know, and He says, okay, you don't want my love, you don't want my kindness, you don't want my power, you don't want me, I'll open the gate, through you go, off you go, learn the hard way, you know? You know how it is, if you've ever experienced, you know, the rebellious teenager. You know, the father, he does everything in his power to straighten his son out, but he won't have it at any cost at all, you know. He just will not be straightened out. And the time comes when the father has to say to the rebel teenager, okay, I've tried, I've remonstrated with you, you won't have it. So he opens the front door, and he might even give him a push and say, off you go, go learn the hard way. You know? And sometimes, of course, sadly, they don't learn even then, not even the hard way. And sometimes, of course, even though God gives men and women over to reprobate minds and to do all these kind of things that they ought not to do because of the rejection of them, sometimes, you know, and most often I think maybe that just hardens them even more. Because the more you see that you indulge in sin, the more that you give yourself over to it, then God gives you over to more of what you want. You know? God says, okay, I'll give you over to, you don't want my power, I'll give you over to another power. I'll give you over to the power of self. I tell you, the worst thing that God can do for any human being on this planet is to give them over to the power of themselves to be their own gods. That's your country. That's the United Kingdom. That's the town of Stafford today. Self is your God. God has given you over to yourselves, to the power of self. And when you're given over to the power of self, well, it's self that reigns, you know. I want, I will have, I must have. And what you want, you see, is not your best good. What you want is your utter destruction. Because inside you, you have a corrupt heart. You have a nature that's diseased, that's spoiled. Because you see, you were conceived, you were born in sin. You have a deceitful heart, and a deceitful heart will always gravitate towards that which is false, towards that which is a lie. You've exchanged the truth for a lie, says God. And a deceitful heart will always, always gravitate towards that which is deceitful, that which is false. Living on the basis of an evolutionary worldview is what is called self-deception, you know? You deceive yourself, you know, into thinking there is no God, and this is a very, very suitable way of explaining God away. That satisfies your mind, you know? But it's foolishness, says God, you know? It's like the dad, you know, in the summertime he takes the kids to the beach, and out comes the beach ball, and dad gets hold of it, and he sits on it in the water, and he pushes it down into under the water, and he cries out to the kids, where's the ball? Where's the ball? Of course, the kids know where the ball is. Dad's playing the fool, isn't he? But he has to work hard. He has to work very, very hard at keeping that ball under the water. But he knows where the ball is. He's being stupid. He's being foolish, you know? And just the same way, the evolutionist, secularist, atheist, whatever you want to call him, he knows where God is. He's pushing the truth down in unrighteousness and wickedness and foolishness. He knows where God is. He knows that God is. But he's living in utter self-deception. And all because of the corrupt nature. That's why you call yourself an atheist. That's why you believe in the lie of evolution. Because you've got a corrupt nature. Psalm 14 verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Why? Next verse. Because they are corrupt. From your very mother's womb. Conceived. Born in sin, says God. With a sinful nature that must needs be transformed by the power of the gospel. Unless that nature's changed, you will continue from that nature quite naturally to live in the practice of sin. Iniquity, sin, and transgression. But all can be forgiven. All can be put right. By the power of God and by the power of my gospel that I declare to you today. It's why Jesus says, you see, in another place you must be born again. That except a man is born again, you see, not becoming religious, born again, something that God does, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but of God, born of God, you see. From above, not returning to your mother's womb, a and being born again naturally, but born again supernaturally. You know? The nature changed. Can you change, says God, the spots on a leopard? Huh? Oh, you say, no, that's his natural condition. That's impossible. That would take a miracle. Yes, says God. So how can you, who are accustomed to doing evil, quite naturally to do evil, how could you possibly do good? This is impossible with you. Even those of you who would claim here this afternoon, I'm a good person, respectable, upright citizen. I'm a good person, leave me be. No, because you're not a good person. There is none good, says God, not one. None who does good. Not even one. None righteous. Many lies have you told. Many times have you lusted after the opposite sex, and some of you the same sex. Huh? You ever stolen anything, big or small, doesn't matter. There's none good, no, not one. There is no goodness in any one of us. Natures that are corrupt and will always gravitate towards that which is deceitful and false, that which is wicked. Because it is in wickedness that we suppress that which we know. No, blatantly obvious to you. Oh, some people, they come and say to me, well, give me evidence that God is. Prove it to me that God is. No, you do not need proof. You do not need evidence. Because of all the things that God has made, he says, whoever you are, oh man, you are without excuse. But here's the thing. Oh, there's evidence. There's plenty of proof. But I ain't forgiven it to you because you don't need it. And even if I gave it to you, would you fall down immediately and worship God? No, you would not. Even if one rose from the dead, you would not believe. If you will not believe, if you will not take God at His word, you will not believe at all. It's a white flag that you need. Raised in surrender, in submission to the God that you know is. And who is your Creator. No, you are not hashed out in some primordial sludge. You're not a piece of chemical fizz. You're a man, you're a woman made in the image of Almighty God. God is your Creator, and you need to get to understanding that and before you die. And there's something else that you need to get hold of, and that is that God is your lawgiver. He is the one who demands of you, and rightfully so, how you should conduct yourself in His world. And He is also your judge, who is judging the very thoughts and intents of your hearts right this very moment, and who one day will bring you fully and finally to judgment. So you need to grasp, you need to understand, you need the knowledge of these things before you die. And friends, the fourth thing that you need to know is this, is that God this very day could become your Redeemer, your Savior, through my gospel. Because God has made a way, you see, from the dark path of atheism. The dark path of godlessness. There is a way back to God from that dark path of sin. That suppression of the truth in unrighteousness. And that pathway is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. who, as I say, came in to the world to save, to rescue men and women from such darkness, from such unbelief. You look at the issues, you look at the social problems faced with in your nation today, the insanity that abounds in your nation, in the political realms, educational realms, in the realms, the halls of justice, insanity abounds everywhere. So what is the cure? What is the way out of that insanity? Well, it's not some political fix, certainly not some cultural fix. There's only one answer to it, I tell you, and that's the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. A nation that needs delivering from an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief in the gospel is not just a matter of opinion. Well, you've got your way, I've got mine. That's your opinion, but it's not mine. This is not a matter of a difference of opinion. This is a matter of evil, deep, deep-seated wickedness in the nation. The wickedness, the evil of unbelief in the true and living God, your Maker, your Lawgiver and your Judge. Oh, I tell you, friends, I tell you, it is a great iniquity, rebellion against God. That's what it is. Anarchy. And one day you'll be faced with the full and final consequences of it if you're not turned, if you're not saved, if you're not pardoned by God. Sin misses the mark. You are made to glorify and to enjoy God. You cannot glorify Him. You cannot enjoy Him without the knowledge of Him, a true knowledge of Him revealed to us in His Word, the Bible. You come way short of the mark. That's what sin is. Not reaching the target. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says God. You haven't reached the target. It's not that you've missed the bullseye. It's not that you've just hit the outer perimeter of the target. No, you haven't even hit the target. And most of you have not even tried to reach the target. Sin is a missing of the mark, you see. Isn't it true, friends, that you do not even hit your own target? You set targets for yourself, agendas planned for your life. You're going to do this and that and the other. You'll be this and you won't be that, you know. But you fail to reach even your own set targets for yourselves, never mind God's, which are perfection to the utmost. Way, way short of the mark that God has set for humankind. And of course, your target, your respectability, your agenda, whatever it might be, is nothing but utter shabbiness, contrasted with the utter holiness of God. But that says all. That says all, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm going into buildings such as this behind me, and lighting candles will not extinguish your sin. Going into buildings such as this behind me and curtsying and bowing before statues will not take away your sin, will not extinguish it, will not put you right with God, will not mend your bad heart and clear your bad record. These are the issues that you're faced with, a bad heart, a heart that needs mending, that only God can mend. And of course, a bad record that comes from that bad heart that needs to be cleared. And there's only one person who can clear it, absolve you before the throne of God. Only one who can wash away the stain of sin, Mark left. Blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, in the love of God for a world of ruined sinners, fallen sinners, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish in their sin, that is, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, already condemned, self-condemned. This is the condemnation, that you have not believed, the evil heart of unbelief. God warns against such an evil heart of unbelief. Evil. And it's the evil from which all the other evils in your society come from. The filth and uncleanness, the fornication and sodomy, the lying and stealing, the perverseness, high places and low places alike, comes out of the same place, an evil heart of unbelief from which comes, that's the source, that's the fountain from which comes all the other evils, the murder and slaughtering the world over, that's where it comes from, an evil heart of unbelief. And there's only one person who can mend your heart. Only one person who can put it right. Only one person who can fix the bad heart and clear the bad record. But that's the very reason, the purpose why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. That through Him your heart could be mended. And through His shed blood that your sin could be forgiven. The record cleared. Right with God for time and for eternity. Transgression, the word, it means lawlessness. That's what sin is. Transgression of the law. Lawlessness, breaking, living in breach of the commandments of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery, steal, kill, by means of abortion, euthanasia, and anything else in between, violence, drugs, whatever. Lawlessness abounds. Do you not see it? Do you not see it in your daily news bulletins and in your newspapers? Those of you with the ability to read these days, do you not see it? The lawlessness that abounds and is increasing, and it's not going to get better sometime soon. Bible says that evil men will wax worse and worse as time goes on, until the end comes and God judges the world in righteousness by His Son Jesus Christ. Transgression, lawlessness. Tiniest sin, I tell you, is a lifting of your fist in your Maker's face. It's rebellion against the God that you know is. It is, of course. Just as one in the Bible said, Who is God that I should serve Him? Well, your Maker and your Judge, your Lawgiver, that's who. The one before whom you will very soon, and maybe sooner than you think, will stand and give account, as we all must do, as the Bible clearly tells us. All of us exposed, naked before the eye of Him to whom we must give account. You must. You really must. Oh, you try. You work hard at breaking the bands, you know. Oh, you want to be free from such, you know. lawbreakers, lawless people. We just want to be free. We don't want to be confined to such laws, commandments as these. Yet given to you for your good, for your safety, for your well-being, a fence to keep you from that which is destructive, to keep you from going over the precipice into eternal, everlasting damnation. But you will have none of it. It is God that I should serve Him. It is God that I should worship Him. Friends, the gospel, the good news, Jesus Christ, the only way back to God from sin's dark path. Neither is there salvation in any other. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. One name, one Savior, one Son of God. There is no other. Was no other good enough to pay the price of sin? Open heaven's gate and let men and women, rebels, transgressors, sinners, abounding in iniquity, a threefold disease and a double cure, the death and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. His blood, atoning blood, shed for the sins of the world, to make peace with God between you and God. The only mediator, man Christ Jesus, not of religion, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, a person, not of religion, not an instituted religion, a person, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And what did He do? He died on a Roman cross.
I am sacred, so resurrected.
You what? You sound drunk to me. No? Okay, I said you sound it. Didn't say you were. So like you say, friends, you know, He died on a Roman cross. Oh, you say there were plenty of men died on Roman crosses 2,000 years ago. Sure there was, but only one who was the Son of God. Only one who was dying in the place of others. One who didn't deserve to die, who was dying in the place of sinners such as you and I. And who did He do it for? He did it for the ungodly. Men and women. Ungodly. Godless, without God. Without hope in this world and the world to come. Ungodly. Contrary to God, that is, in their natures and in their practice. Blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners to reconcile them to God. Rose again from the dead to justify them, to make them right, and to give new life, abundant life. Life without the sin, life without the iniquity, life without the transgression, life without the sin that degrades, that spoils, that takes the life out of men and women and makes them vulnerable to the judgment of God, which must needs come. And I tell you, from the understanding I have of God's Word, the Bible is soon to come. And so now you must run. You must flee into the arms of Jesus, the only Savior, the only escape. No other way back to God. No other way by which you can be reconciled to God. No other way. No other hope. Joy and peace to be had. Life everlasting, eternal. But only in Jesus, only in the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them to reconcile them to God, to bring them to God. Oh, dear friends, Jesus, Jesus, that the Son of God should step down into this world and become a man and endure the suffering and the shame of the cross, that sinners such as you, hard-faced transgressors, lawless people such as you are, in truth and reality, that such as you could be forgiven and reconciled, rectified with God. Surely that is it not amazing grace? Because grace it is. It's the free favor of God. It's not something you can work for, not something you can be good for, not something you can be religious for. It's not something you can be anything for. It's of grace. It's all of grace. It's the free gift and grace of God offered to you in the gospel. All the wages of sin is death, always has been and always will be, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, offered to you in the gospel once again today. Oh, will you hear? Will you hearken? Will you consider seriously Christ Jesus, who came into the world and bled and died for sinners? Will you take a copy of God's Word, study, meditate upon it, see that these things are so, the spoken Word of God? Heaven and earth shall pass away. Oh, you see, these are old-fashioned things, these. We don't believe this anymore. You know, we believe in science. We believe in ourselves. We don't believe in stuff like this anymore. Heaven and earth may pass away. My word abides forever, says Jesus. Never changes. Suitable in every day and generation. Every modern age. When I was born in 1944, people were saying then, it's a modern age. Every generation says that. Get real, people. Get real, get some intelligence, please, into your minds. Every generation says that. It's a modern age. And every modern age is just as iniquitous, is just as lawless and sinful as the next. And it has the same need, and that is my gospel. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came for sinners of every modern age. Still the power of God unto salvation, and always will be until the end, that is. So I hope before your end comes, before you breathe your last and go out of this world, that Jesus will have taken your sin away by faith.
Afternoon, sir.
Faith. Not works, not your deeds, not your lawless deeds, but faith in Jesus Christ. He who offered up the perfect sacrifice to God for sin, that you might be forgiven, and instead of going to hell, to go to heaven. You believe my gospel, you believe in Jesus Christ, I tell you, comes down to this. Comes down to this. You believe my gospel. You take God at His word. One day you'll die, you'll breathe your last, and you'll go to heaven. But you reject my gospel. You reject God's word. You will likewise die one day, and you will go to hell. Two choices, two ways God places before you. Life or death. Choose life, that you and your offspring might live. And live eternally. It's all in God's Word. God's Word that calls you to repentance today. Once again, repent and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, that's why. And you cannot enter God's kingdom of grace, glory, and power without repentance and faith. So I call upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the Almighty God. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you'd like to have a copy of God's word, take home with yourself. Read, see that these things are indeed so. Offer to you.